a familiar scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I've used this for, I'm not into the swimming, so what do you call it? Jump board. Springboard, what a fella told me one time. Said, you don't preach your text, you just have a springboard. Well, thank God the Bible's my springboard, and I appreciate it. I want us to go to chapter 4, verse number 1. And as we look at this tonight, I trust that the Lord might help us. We'll not get through this, but I want to tie this along with Psalms 12, 6 and 7. And it's on the Word of God. And I pray tonight that the Lord might help us to understand the truths of the Word of God. And of course, the Lord tells us in this scripture that there's going to come a time that they would not endure sound doctrine. Or that's the Word of God. But I want to just use two verses out of chapter 4. You don't have to stand. Just two verses. Verse 1 and 2 said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall, not might, not possibly, but who shall judge the quick, that's the alive, and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. And then Paul tells Timothy to do these things. Number one, preach the word. And then he tells him what he expects out of the preaching the word of God. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And we'll stop there. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege of prayer. For the opportunity we have as an open door. And we can come to the throne of grace without an appointment. And Lord, we can come before you and lay our petitions before you. And Lord, if we don't pick them up and take them back, we can leave them with you and by faith trust you, Lord, to answer our prayers. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to be at the house of God, for the liberty we have to be here. Lord, we didn't have to get permission to come. We thank you that we can be and we wanted to be. And if there's any in this building tonight that didn't want to be here, I pray God you'd touch them before they get out of this service. May the hand of the Lord be real through our hearts. Thank you, Lord, that we can come to the house of God. And if I went out of this building right now, Lord, I could say it's been good just to meet with the saints of God and sung a few songs and greeted one another in the presence of God. And Lord, I could say it's been good to be here. But I thank you tonight for the word of God, and I give the word of God, Lord, to us to speak and to say what we need to say, no more and no less. Guard our minds. Lord, we realize today that the devil's on not just a visitation or not just on regular basis, but Lord, he's on full-time duty to try to hinder us from getting what we need from the work of God. And the word of God. And I pray, God, tonight you'll put him to the side. Cast him out tonight, Lord, that we might be able to worship and exalt the Lord Jesus and the word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just want to ask you a question. Now, what if we didn't have any church? What if we didn't have a church? What if something happened and they shut us completely down and we didn't have any church? He said, well, I just worship on the other side in the house. Amen. Well, you can do that. But God has established a church for us to be here tonight. I kind of like to think about what I heard a preacher say one time. Said a fellow said, why, it's going to get so bad one of these days. We're going to have such a famine. We probably ain't going to have maybe just one cracker left. What you going to do, preacher, when you ain't got but one cracker left? Said, I'd be on the other side nibbling. On the other side of the cracker, nibbling. Amen. Waiting on God. That's what I... And what if we didn't have a church? Well, I want to tell you. The Bible teaches us that we'll have a church. The Bible teaches us that heaven and earth will pass away, but, the Word of God will not. And then it said, upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Didn't say that it might not fire at us. Didn't say it might not stomp us. It didn't say that we might not have to suffer any kind of reproach or ridicule. And by the way, if you love God, you're going to suffer some reproach in these hours. There's a church, and I mentioned this the other day, and I keep hearing and listening, and I pray for it. A church in California, isn't that strange? Amen. I've said the governor out there needs to get saved. Amen. Turn his heart around to the Lord, or let the Lord turn him around. They're charging a church $5,000 every time they meet. And now the bill is up over $60,000, and we don't know where it's going to stop. What if that happened here? It's a bigger church, thank God for that. But I want to say, what would happen? What would happen if we didn't have a church? What if we didn't have some old-time preaching? Some of the old-time men of God are dying out. They're going. They're leaving. They're leaving the scene. It bothers me every single time I hear of great men of God dying in our modern day. And the younger ones, we got some good ones coming along, but they're not like the other. Listen, our older men of God today that are preaching are not like they used to be back yonder years ago. Every generation fails. Every generation goes down. And we're losing ground. And you know good and well we're losing ground, or our nation wouldn't be where it's at tonight. We are losing a lot of things. And as we look at this, it bothers me. What if we didn't have some old-time men of God still preaching and declaring the whole counsel of the Word of God? Brother, I'll tell you what. We need the preaching. We need the church. We need good old-time gospel singing. Amen. We're coming to a time, and it bothers me, and I've been on this lots of times down through the years, but just think about coming to the church. And our choirs, we're not having them now because of closeness of the singing, trying to keep our distance. But somewhere down the road, we're going to have to quit that stuff. Amen. Somewhere down the road, we're going to have to get back to it. This may seem to be the new normal, but I'm not happy with the new normal. Brother, I liked the way we used to worship. I liked it when the old men of God come in and got up and preached and slobbered. Amen. I was listening to Billy Kelly the other day, and he got up and he was talking. He's dead now, of course, in glory, but he is a preacher. He said the church run him off. Said they told him, you preach too loud and you preach too long and you're not our kind. He said, that's strange. Said they wasn't my kind either. Amen. He said, one thing about it, you didn't have to pray about leaving if they voted you out. And I've been there. I know what that's like. But I want to say to you, brother, I want you to know tonight that preaching is what we need. That's what this nation needs. That's what I need. I know I'm saved by the grace of God. I know where I'm going when this life's over. But I still need to be preached to. If I didn't have the preaching, the Word of God, I'd get so cold and so far away. But listen, surely in the past few months of this church here, You understand a little bit about what it means to you spiritually. Amen. You can listen to preaching, and I like to listen to it, and I do it. But I want to tell you something. It's not the same as coming out and sitting under the preaching, the Word of God. You can hear it on tape. You can hear it on video. You can see all that. And that's good. And if you ain't got nothing but that, get it. Amen. But I want to tell you, at the house of God, that's where we get to preach it. That's where that fellowship is. You know, when God's speaking to one, He's speaking to another. At least one thing about it, church, when you're at the house of God, if the man of God gets a little mean, rough, you got the consolation. No, he's telling the others on the other side of the aisle the same thing. And you also can look at this and say, maybe he's not speaking to me. He's speaking to so-and-so. Knowing well down in your soul that he is speaking to you. But we can always put it off, can't we? But what if we didn't have no singing? Old time singing, the old hymns. Brother got all that old beat and stuff that they got into contemporary stuff. Listen, I like the old hymns. I don't want to get away from that. I want that the rest of my days. I hadn't heard anything yet that's come along that has interested me in listening. Something like the gospel rap. Well, you can take that stuff you want to. It's not for me. Some folks like that little contemporary stuff. Amen. That won't do nothing but make your feet tap the floor. Amen. Don't do nothing for your soul. Heard what a preacher said, and I've said it many, many times myself.
anything that'll make your feet move first can't be right, because God moves the heart first. There ain't nothing wrong with tapping your feet on the floor when the singing's going on, but make sure that the inner man has been touched first, and God's pushing the buttons of your soul before your feet go to. Most of us hear things that want to tap our feet, and it never does nothing for our heart. And that's what this new contemporary stuff does. So I want to look at this. I want to look at verse number 2. Paul told Timothy, took him under his wings and under his care. And I want to say, before I get started there, that the devil does not want you to be close to God. He's loving this business of this pandemic. He loves it to see the church house door shut. He's wanted to shut it for years, but he didn't know it was going to just take a little sickness to get us down and shut the church down. And he's had more success with this than he has with it. He puts all kinds of it. You know, when you're running well and we ain't got no pandemic, everything under the sun comes up. The devil don't want you to get in the Word of God. The devil don't want you to get on your knees. The devil don't want you to get in the house of God. The devil don't want you to visit and witness and talk to people about Jesus. He hates that. He wants to keep you as cold and dead and dried up as he possibly can spiritually. He don't want you praying. He hates and despises praying men and women. Why is it you think it's... And you just check this out in your own personal life. Every time you decide you're going to read the Bible, I'll guarantee you, you're going to take some special time, especially if you tell him. Said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Every afternoon at 5 o'clock and in the evening, I'm going to sit down and read my Bible for at least 30 minutes. And you just speak that out loud and tell that, get up in church and tell the saints of God, I'll guarantee you tomorrow the devil will make sure he's sitting on your couch in the living room of your house or somewhere on the porch or something, and he's going to keep you busy at 5 o'clock. If not, he don't find you something else to do, he'll get you down on your knees, and while you're on your knees, you're thinking about what you should do and what you have done and what you've missed to do and what you're going to do tomorrow, and you can't pray and get a prayer out. And you can't get in your Bible and you can't read. You don't have the time. He's put everything else on your mind. And brother, when church time comes, he'll put some kind of thing in your mind to think, oh, this is Wednesday night. I don't want to go to Wednesday night. I wish we didn't have Wednesday night service. Hey, I hope if you have ever said that, you'll never say it again. I like going to church. This ain't something I picked up the other day. I was raised for about 7-8 years in my life, or 9. I can't remember right in there when we started going. But the first 7, 8, 9 years of my life, I never went to church. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in a drunkard's home. My mama didn't have any use for God. My daddy didn't have any use for God till God saved him. And then he started taking us to the house of God. Amen. And I got to hearing the preaching the Word of God. But I want to tell you something. I could have very well missed the mark and not heard the Word of God. But I did. And I'm glad that God spoke through the preaching. It wasn't we had good Sunday school teachers and they taught good lessons. And at that time, it's Southern Baptist Church. We had BTU at night on Sunday night. And the teachers taught us all these things. And we had Wednesday night. And we had a choir. And I sung in the choir. Matter of fact, I was real loud in the choir. I wanted to try to out-sing everybody in the church. One day God saved my soul. And when he saved my soul, brother, church was something I wanted to do. And I've been wanting to do it ever since. I backslid on God one time. God liked to kill my wife and my boy. I want you to know it's by the grace of God. God got me back in there. I want you to know tonight, hallelujah, that I don't want to miss any more of the house of God. At the same time, I want to preach. That's what Paul told Timothy to do. He said, preach the word. Not preach my ideas, not preach my thoughts, but preach the word. You said, you're not preaching the word tonight. I am too. Backing it up, baby. I'm telling you what God said for me to do. All right? I'm determined to do this. I'm determined to preach. I want to stay clear of the world. I want to stay clear of the world's crowd. I want to stay clear of the unbeliever when it comes to letting him have influence on my life. I want to preach the word with power and purity like the old men of God did yonder years ago. Little old boy sitting on a pew as a little boy. And I say little boy, I'm talking about 10, 11, 12. They get preachers to come in and preach, and our pastor even did it. And he'd get up to preach, and they'd have him to come in, and I've seen him walk the aisle preaching. And before I got saved, they'd scared me to death. I was lost, none done. They'd walk the aisle. I'd watch them where their coats got wet with sweat, and I watched them, and there's a preacher. But you could feel something in that preaching. There was something there. Like a pot of soup beans had some seasoning in it. It wasn't just plain. And they preached and they preached. And there's a call in my number. Amen. And God was speaking to their heart. And God was speaking to my heart. And brother, God used that kind of preaching to turn my life around. Now you can get unbelievers to come in that's involved in everything under the sun. And the preaching wouldn't even scare a cockroach. Much less a lost sinner. You with me? Brother, I'll tell you, I'm like that. I like that. I want to preach like that. I want the power of God. When Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, when he preached, guess what happened? They were pricked in their heart. Holy Ghost conviction got a hold of them. No wonder 3,000 souls got saved. Brother, they were spoken to by the hand of God. And God uses preaching to do that. Not tiptoeing through the tulips. Not patting men on the back. Not squirting a little rose water and telling you how good you are. Brother, the preaching, the word of God, we're going to look at that. I may not get there like I want to tonight, but I want to do some preaching. Preaching. Now, in preaching, let me tell you, there's several ways we have of that. The old time way like I'm talking about, where the man of God rears back and just lets the word of God flow. God used the Holy Ghost. But in my preaching, I believe preaching is presenting or proclaiming. And that's what we want to do. We want to present the Word of God to you. And we want to proclaim what God says out of the book. You know, some preachers just pat them on the back and tell them everybody's going to be all right if they just trust the Lord. And brother, we've come in this easy believism era and time. When you say here, just go ahead and quote this prayer. Amen. I mean, just say, I'm a sinner and I'm on my way to hell. Listen, I believe a sinner ought to be convicted of his sin. And he ought to come down the aisle or somewhere, wherever he's at. Don't have to be at a church, but somewhere. When he gets under Holy Ghost conviction, he needs to confess to God. I can't save you and I can't give you a prayer to pray. As a little boy, I used to hear him say, you gotta pray the sinner's prayer. God be merciful to me, a sinner. But when I got saved that day, I didn't do that. You know what I said? Oh God, save me. Oh God, save me. God already convinced me as a sinner. I didn't have to tell him. He already knowed. Mm-hmm. Amen. I didn't have to come down and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. He done rung my number. He done shook the bench I was sitting on. And brother, I was miserable. I wanted to get out. That was the most miserable church service I've ever been in my life. I was sitting there and God is tearing my soul all to pieces and shaking me out over the pits of hell. And I knew I was lost and undone without God. And I got up out of my seat and wanted to turn and go out, but I came to the altar. Took one step and I didn't have any more trouble. The second step I didn't pay no attention to. And I fell in the altar and I'm a praying. I'm saying, God save me, God save me, God save me. I didn't tell him I was a sinner. He already knowed it and I knowed it too. And God knew what I was there for. I didn't repeat a prayer that the pastor came down with. And brother, when I come up in the day, they didn't bring a Bible down there and start giving you everything. It kind of reminded me of that fella one time as an atheist in the church I was pastoring. His wife and son and daughter came to the church. And they sit on this side, about where Brother Virgil sits. And I went out to visit him one day because he wasn't coming with them. And I went down there and took one of the men with me. One of the men that I took, the man I took with me, knowed him real well. He's a good friend of his. And he didn't tell me he's an atheist. And I went out there and he had a big fine boat and some fancy stuff out there in the yard. And I walked in and his name is Randall. And I said, "Randall, how you doing?" And I told him, introduced myself. He said, "I know who you are." And I said, "I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been born again?" "No, I didn't." I said, "That's a nice boat out there." He said, "Yeah, it is." And I said, I tried to get a conversation. I said, "Have you ever been born again?" He said, "Now listen, I'll talk to you about my boat and everything else. But if you come out here to talk to me about God, you can just go back out that door you come in. Because I'm an atheist and I do not believe there's a God." And I said, "Randall, that's what I come out here to talk to you about." He said, "Get out the door." And I left. A few months passed. And one Sunday morning, he come walking in after Sunday school and sat down with his wife, daughter, and son. Evidently, they've been telling him what I said. And I thought to myself, I hope he ain't as rude to me today as he was when I went to his house. And I tried to brace myself and I'd say, "Lord, you know, when you get under them circumstances, I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll make you ring the prayer bells a little heavier." I got up to preach knowing I had an atheist in the house, didn't even believe in a God that I serve. And I'm saying, "Lord, you're going to have to give me something today." Boy, I'll tell you right now, God humbled my heart and touched my soul and I got up and preached. And that day the power of God fell. I preached with a tremendous power. And I kept watching him and he kept watching me. And I couldn't tell what was in them thoughts. But we give an invitation. Remember the song, "Just As I Am." And he stood. And he grabbed a hold of the bench in front of him and held it, squeezed it. We kept a singing. I kept trying to give the invitation. And he turned loose and walked down the aisle. I'd had a little bit of training from other so-called men of God. They'd convinced me that when somebody gets to the altar, you got to take a Bible and show them. You ever been there? In some churches, they'll take them to a little room offside and try to instruct them. Well, I like the old-fashioned way. He come walking down, or come running down the aisle, really. We had a pew in the front of the pulpit and two on the side. And he got down on that, and I grabbed my Bible. And I'm going down, and I'm going to show him what the Bible says. And I get down and I said, "Randall," and he said, "Oh God, I'm going to hell. Save me. Save me today. Forgive me of my sin." And I said, "I ain't doing nothing." And he showed him, just preached the word. And I looked over at him. He looked over at me and he said, "Glory." And I said, what's happened, Randall?" He said, "I just got saved." But he didn't say it loud. He just said it right there in the altar. And I said, "Right now?" He said, "Yes. Matter of fact, it shocked me. I didn't instruct him. All them preachers had told me you're supposed to show them." Paul said, "Preach the word and show them the scriptures in the altar." He said, "Preach the word." And what's happening is, you know why God didn't put that in there? He knew if we instruct him in the altar, we'd get up and say, "You know, I had a big part in his salvation." We'd strut around and brag about it. And so I look over at him. He tells me he got saved. And I said, "Yeah, really?" He said, "Yeah. Matter of fact, I shocked." I come to the conclusion later, I don't believe he is a real atheist. Matter of fact, I come to the conclusion later that there's no such thing as a real atheist. Now you go out and tell him what I said, and I'll tell him myself, I see him. Anybody that would say tonight there's no God, God has two verses of scripture for him. He said the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. God said he's a fool. I didn't call him a fool. Amen. You said don't call no man fool. I didn't. God says it. God said if you don't believe there's a God, you're a fool. Now that's it. It's just that plain. So he stands up. He big old fella. He stands up. And I said, would you tell the church what happened? He said, I come to this church today just because my wife wanted me to come to church. And I honored her request to come to church. And he said, I did not believe there's a God. But he said, after I got to church, something got a hold of me. And he said, I know there's a God today. He just moved into my heart and saved my soul. And he reached over, and big old feller, and I was a skinny feller then. He had had a tough time tonight, but he grabbed a hold of me and slung me around a little bit. And we had a good time. So preaching of the Word of God will save the vilest man, the most wicked woman. And I'm determined tonight to keep preaching the Word. You said they don't like it. God didn't say preach it if they like it. And I'm not preaching tonight to hope you like it. I hope you do. But if you don't, I'm preaching it because God said preach the Word. I want to present it. I want to proclaim it. The rest of my days, I want to print it. I want to publish it and get it out. Now quickly, and I know my time's done gone, I'm sure. But notice what he says. He says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. There's a lot of preaching in this tonight. We wouldn't get out of here if we handled it all. But that word reprove means to admonish, to warn, to reveal, to bring to knowledge, to inform you. God said, when you get in that pulpit, you do everything you can to recognize, make them recognize that they're a sinner, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and they've got problems in their life. And there ain't nobody in here, I don't guess, don't have some kind of problem. But the biggest problem you have tonight is being lost if you're lost. And being saved does not stop your problems. It just gives you somebody to go through them when you get them. I'm thinking about these people that's died in this little short time of this COVID stuff. One of the hardest things to me to even comprehend and even get a hold of today is this. That you can take one of your loved ones to the hospital. You let them off at the door. And you say bye. And they won't let you go in with them. And you have to stop, wait on the doctors to call, the nurses to call. And if they die, they'll call you just right before they're drawing their last breath and let you look through the window and watch them die. To me, that's terrible. That's awful. And one of the hardest things. But to not know God and be put in a place like that, not having God to rely on, oh, you've got your family, and if you ain't got your family to lean on and you don't have God to lean on, it must be a terrible way to go. If you put me in a place like that and if my family didn't show up, that'd be bad. But if I didn't have God, I could look up too. That's the difference tonight. And I know some has went through that. Some is going through it now. I heard on the news today that there's certain nursing homes now opening up their doors for 2 or 3 hours a day. I don't know about in this county here. I doubt they are here, but there are some places that they are. I heard a preacher say another day his daddy is in a nursing home, and he hadn't seen his daddy in the nursing home except through video, and hadn't got him out of there since March. And last week he was able to go get him and take him to the doctor and then take him and get him something to eat. And that was like a reunion to him. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad I've got God. And I got it through the preaching, the Word of God down yonder. Amen. I'm just going to quit. I never will get through. But I appreciate tonight the privilege to preach the Word of God. And I hope and trust that I let nothing fail. Amen. I've got to finish this message sometime. I've got to come back to it because there's a lot here I want to show and see. And brother, we're failing in the mark. And we're failing today. Come on to the instruments. We're failing today into preaching the Word of God. We're failing in some areas. Preaching is not to be taken lightly. It's not for the preacher to take it lightly. It's not for the congregation to take it lightly. Just to be here tonight and be able to open the Word of God and declare a little of it should be a great honor for us. And this ought to help us to carry out the rest of the week. This is kind of the part that charges your battery. Surely God's blessed you and He's give you a little charge just by being here and seeing each other. It's not an old dead night like I had last Wednesday evening. Thank God, stand. There might be something in your heart you want to come to the altar for. If you do, it's open. It's open.